All right.
No problem. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Continuing.
Okay. Continuing. All right. So one of the things that I've just been thinking about, it's so interesting to me, the paradox, maybe from a paradoxal aspect. Okay. So here we are, this shift in consciousness we're going through, and like this whole, we're supposed to be becoming more and more interconnected. And during this quarantine, I am connected with the people that I've been sharing the house with, but I have been going inside. I mean, I'm intermediate. I go inside a lot anyway, but it just seems like on one hand, I almost feel more disconnected from people in the world. I mean, all this chaos is going on in the world, and I feel like I'm in my own little bubble. A very peaceful little bubble right now. So I feel disconnected from this trauma or what other people are doing. So I just thought that was kind of funny how we're all becoming more interconnected, yet I'm feeling more separate. Now, I want to say that separate from quote unquote other people. I don't feel more separate from myself, which is weird. I mean, I don't feel disconnected in a bad way. I feel good. I feel whole. It doesn't feel like I don't feel whole. I'm feeling more whole, but I'm feeling separate from other people. Isn't that interesting, Elias?
I understand. But I would say that I also would acknowledge you that becoming more aware of the interconnected aspect of your reality would likely be expressed in a manner of speaking, incrementally, that you wouldn't necessarily be entirely aware of that in relation to other people initially. But, I would also say that I understand what you are expressing in a physical capacity, that you may feel somewhat disconnected from people in a physical capacity, but I would also say that if you think about it, you might not necessarily feel entirely disconnected from other people otherwise, because you may actually be experiencing more awareness and compassion for other people than you have before.
Strangers.
For people that you don't even know.
Yeah.
In this, what I would say is you don't necessarily have to be physically interactive with people to be aware of your interconnectedness with them.
Yeah, I don't feel like...
I would also say that as I have recently, with many of you are escaping the trauma in relation to this mass event.
Yeah.
because you have information, and besides having information, you have been practicing with these principles for some time now, therefore it isn't affecting you as strongly as it is with other people. But everyone will be presenting some type of challenge to themselves.
Oh, so I was presenting a challenge, and I mean, it wasn't bad, but I know I was presenting it to myself. And I was okay with it, because I do want to be aware of it and move through it, because I don't want to do it anymore. But so the thing that was triggering me, and it wasn't really that much, it's not triggering me like it was in the past, it's just now triggering me just a little bit, like a little, someone poking me just a little bit, kind of annoying little pestering trigger, not like a give depression trigger. But I'm super aware, like I've been aware of over time how, you know, I wanted to be right, and I've been letting go of that over the years. But the thing that has really been triggering me now, one, is when people are blaming other people and not necessarily just blaming, but it's like when they're mean to other people, about other people, and they guise themselves as being compassionate. Like the with this virus, there's a lot of people where there's still polarization with the virus, but I feel like the polarization is starting to lessen. I don't know if that is accurate or not, but that's kind of what it feels like to me. But there's still the camp, okay, you got to stay inside, you got to wear your mask, even if you don't believe you're going to get ill, you have to wear your mask because it's a cooperative thing to do, and it's polite in society. And then there's the other side that is, you're taking our freedom away, we can do what we want, this is all a made up thing, da-da-da. And then, like, the people who want to wear the masks and have cooperations are calling the people who are rebelling assholes or inconsiderate or stupid, or they're like calling them names, and that is like triggering me. It's like, okay, so we're no camp should be, as far as shoulds go, just when someone is calling the other people names or disparaging them, or this hate for the people that don't agree the way that you agree or don't think the way you think, and then you dismiss them by thinking they're stupid, or that had been triggering me. So I observed that it was triggering me, and I said, I want to move through this, and I must have moved through it to some extent, because I am starting to see lessening of that. So that's an indication to me. I mean, I still see it. It's still there, but it's, at least in my reality, not as prominent as it was. So I probably am moving through it a bit.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But then yeah.
That is definite.
Yeah. I was thinking, and then I also was aware of the fact that obviously I'm kind of doing the same thing, like judging those people who are judging. You know, it's that catch 22 endless thing. But it's okay. I feel like that's been a piece that's been going on for me for maybe my entire lifetime. And it's one of the stronger threads that go through my life this lifetime, and I feel like I'm getting it, like it's been tied in a tight knot, and now it's starting to loosen up enough, you know, when you get the knot just loose enough that you can start getting it more and more loose. So that's where I feel like I am, like it's going to be pretty easy to pull it out now. So
excellent.
Yeah,
hey, congratulations, my friend, that is very significant.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing I want to talk to you about, kind of fun. We were playing, John and I were playing a card game with another friend of ours, and It's so funny. And this has happened other times, and it's weird. It's like, I know sometimes it's going to happen, but it's still, you can't make it happen. You almost have to like allow it to happen. I'm still playing around with this a little bit. Like when he was just funning around, and maybe that's also a key, is funning around. And this card game, jacks are, it's like jacks are whack. You don't want to, you know, jacks do nothing. And our friend had won, or she was winning or something. So John is dealing, and he's like, when he deals her a card, he goes, jack, jack, every time he deals her a card. And then you have like 10 cards face down. Well, darn, and he said it like 4 times, jack, jack, jack. And darned if out of the whole deck of 52 cards, she had 10 cards in front of her, 4 of them were jacks. So funny. And it's kind of like, I knew she was going to get some jacks, because he was like saying, jack, jack. So it's like, there's going to be some jacks there. And it was, and we all had a big laugh. It was so much fun. There were these 4 jacks. But then, you know, sometimes like playing around, I'm like, okay, I want this card. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm just curious in this, like creating our reality. You know, how, I don't think we ever want to get so purposeful, because it would be exhausting to say, okay, I want this window to be here. I want, you know, this trash can to be, or it just seems to be, it would be exhausting to be creating every single detail consciously. But it's interesting to play around with what we can intentionally create to happen. So I guess if I have a question for you, I mean, how would you see, like, how much conscious awareness, like what's a good balance of it that's going to be, maybe you don't have the answer, it's for me to figure out, but a good balance of what we are consciously creating versus what we quote unquote create by default, because it does feel like it would be exhausting to create everything intentionally. And I feel like I'm rambling. But anyway, does that give you enough to give me some kind of feedback?
I would say as you continue to move in the direction of being more and more self-aware and intentionally creating your reality, you don't have to be focused on every single detail.
Right.
That isn't necessary, because in another sense, you are. That is part of what your senses do.
Ah.
That they input and filter and process all of those details, all of that information is constantly being inputted to you through your senses. Everything that is around you, every vibrational quality, every color, every scent, every touch, everything in all of those details is always being inputted to you. And you are processing all of that information. Therefore, what you are doing is you are choosing the subject matter, let us say. Therefore, you choose the subject matter, the overall, and then all the details are filled in through your senses, through your impressions, through your imagination, through your intuition, all of your avenues of communication are processing all of the details of everything. And in that, when you are choosing intentionally, you are actually including all of those details. And in a manner that you are processing very, very, very fast. And you don't have to move in those directions of reality being exhausting because you are generating all of those details of information without having to think about every single piece.
Yeah, I think what the part that I was maybe that I've been playing or toying around with lately is, it's like, what is it that I want? Like, I'm starting to believe more and more, okay, I really can have everything I want. So let's say, starting at that point, I can have everything I want. It's like, now I'm like, what the heck do I want? And I mean, I know generally things I want, but I also don't feel like I want any really big things. I mean, on one respect, but the other respect is, yeah, I want, you know, the biggest of things. Actually, I'm rambling again. I mean, I think I have a good feel. I do. I feel good. And I don't feel like I'm worried about creating reality. Obviously, I know how to create reality because I'm doing it right now. It's just,
and you are doing it very well.
Yes, and I'm doing it very well. And I, it's all good. It's just, I think I'm like on a brink of maybe it's just wondering really, and maybe I won't, as long as I'm physically focused, be able to really understand it. But I feel like I'm on the brink of kind of understanding a little bit better how I am creating my reality, but it still seems pretty far away. And I just feel like I'm like grasping for an understanding, not in a bad way, but just in a curious way. Like, how is all this really working? And I may figure it all out, and I may not, and it's okay because I can still do it whether I figure it out. Gosh, Elias, why am I rambling so much today? Such a rambler.
Actually, what I would say is I wouldn't necessarily define it as rambling. I would say that you are talking, and that is very understandable. I would say that is one piece that you may not necessarily entirely objectively recognize that you miss, but that you do. Being able to be interactive with many other people and simply talking with them.
Oh, yeah. Ah!
And therefore, that is what you are doing with me.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Very understandable, because this is a manner, it is a method in which all of you connect with each other objectively is through conversations and speaking with each other and sharing what you are thinking and what you are feeling and what you are doing. And you don't have as much of that as you did before.
All right, that makes sense.
Very understandable, and I entirely pleased to listen.
Thank you, Elias. I love you. Okay, so let me digress on some things that I'm curious about, some stat information. Brittany, who is staying in the house with us, I am pretty darn sure she's political.
Correct.
And I think she's common. And pretty darn sure she's got to be either ILDA, aligned, or belonging.
Aligned.
Aligned. And is she Gramada? This one I'm not sure about. Is she Gramada belonging then?
Belonging, yes.
Oh my God, yeah, because sometimes I remember you saying that Gramada can be a little elusive. Oh, good. I got all that right. Okay, so then they're not here right now, but they were. The John W. that was here. Pretty darn sure he's common.
Yes.
Pretty darn sure he's emotional.
Yes.
And then this, I'm not quite as sure, but I just kind of went with the first things. Is he Gramada to mold?
Sumari to mold.
Oh, that makes oh, Samari to mold. Okay. That to mold was kind of a shocker for me at once. I mean, that I never had thought about him being to mold until I was trying to do his stats, and then I thought, oh yeah, that feels right. Okay. So then Whitney, who was here, she pretty darn sure she's soft. She's thought pretty darn sure. And is she I get the three families I got for her were Samari, Ilda, and Vold.
Belonging, Sumari, aligning, bold.
Ha! That makes sense to me. Okay. And then I was thinking, there's a woman that lives on the island, Kelly. I've asked her stats before. I think I don't know if I've asked her stats before, but I know I probably have. She's Samari Gramada or Samari Gramada. But anyhow, is she dispersed?
Yeah.
Yeah, she picks up on everything. All right, that makes sense. And I always thought it was kind of weird because she's common and she seems to guard her energy a little, not guard her energy, but she seems to kind of, well, it feels to me like she guards herself a bit. And I thought, well, that's so weird for a common. But then I thought, if she's dispersed, that makes sense. Is that what I was picking up on?
Yes. But I would say, depending on the individual, that it might not be so tremendously unusual for a common individual to be guarded.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. All right, so now I want to ask, I haven't asked essence names in a while. So what is Brittany's essence name?
Essence name Petra, Petrea.
Oh, EA. All right. And then what is Whitney's essence name?
One moment. Essence name, Daphne.
Daphne. And then John W. What's his name?
Aaron, Aaron.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. Interesting. And I don't know why it's interesting, but it's interesting. Okay. So, yesterday, even though I'm feeling really good now, and I've on the whole, I've been feeling pretty good. Yesterday, My energy was so zapped. I was so tired all day. I almost felt like I was drugged. So was that physical feeling that I was experiencing because I did not sleep well the night before, or was I picking up on some mass energy?
I would say the latter.
Yeah. I feel like this morning I feel a lifting, like things are turning, like this virus thing. I feel like we've taken a fork in the road, and we are heading towards a lighter place as a collective. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that, most definitely. I would say that, relatively speaking, you are moving in that direction somewhat slowly,
Yeah.
but
And I had asked you last time if I had gotten the coronavirus, and you said no. So my question now is, have I been exposed to it?
yes.
And I just chose not to activate it, obviously. So would that mean I don't have the coronavirus antibodies, or I do have the coronavirus antibodies in me?
You do.
Okay. Cool. Interesting. Well, I like that. Okay.
I would say to you, my friend, very realistically speaking, there are very few people that haven't been exposed to it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I heard you say that. And I believe it. I do. I mean, I believe it. Like, I think. So, this also leads me to another thing that I'm thinking. These are just thoughts in my head. So I'm like, because I really do think that if we just opened up, this is my thinking. If we opened up business and just we started to live together without this social distancing or physical distancing, no more people would get it than are getting it now. Well, unless they believe it, I guess. Maybe they would. But I mean, I just think it would be okay. And I think part of me is like, okay, all this is so silly that we're doing this. But then the other part of me is looking at all this cool stuff that has happened because we're doing this. Like, one, on a personal level, I am really enjoying having less to do. I love it. I gotta tell you that. I've loved this whole respite and not respite, whatever that word. But I love this whole like la 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 la, just calm, meandering. I guess that's the word. I just feel like I'm meandering and I have the time to do it and I love it. I love how the pollution is clearing up. I love the animals coming out. I love how people, I do see, maybe slowly, but I do see more just little steps towards more kindness. I think the polarization is starting to shift a little bit, a little bit. I think it is. I feel like it is. I feel that a lot of good stuff has happened because of this. So it's interesting. Like sometimes oh, so going back to me, like wanting to create my reality, I feel like I could really like marinate in the let's end this quarantine now kind of vibes, or I could marinate into, oh, this is so nice. Do we, all this good stuff is happening. So actually a question I do have about creating my reality is I think sometimes I think to myself, well, which direction do I want to go? Because if what I focus on is creating my reality, what I'm concentrating upon is creating my reality, which way is like quote unquote, even though I know there's not necessarily a better, but which way is the better way for me to start concentrating on in, oh, that leads me to another kind of question. So ending, like, so I think, okay, I could intentionally choose, but I know I don't need to, because I can also, like, just flow with the energy. Like, sometimes I'll feel like this little impulse to, all right, maybe I'm feeling like it's okay to start going back to DC. Like, I don't feel 100% there yet, but I'm starting to feel it. So instead of me intentionally having to say, okay, I'm going to create the quarantine to be over, or I'm going to create, oh, it to be longer, I'm just like feeling my way through it. I'm not creating it. I'm allowing it. That's what it's happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm conscious of now how I'm allowing my reality to be created. But it's, what's interesting to me is, so I'm allowing it, but what is this allowance coming from? I mean, the one answer, which I don't understand, but I know it's true, I'm allowing myself to create it, but I don't have to understand. It's like trusting myself. I'm trusting myself and following myself. I'm allowing myself. It's like a flower. I'm allowing myself to bloom. Oh, my God. I know that was a ramble, but it felt good, Elias. Oh, my God. That's how I'm creating, right? I mean, I don't know if I said it in words, but you could feel what I was feeling. Could you feel it?
Yes, I understand. And yes. Your action experimenting. And in a manner of speaking, learning how you are creating your reality in part. Learning what allowance means.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I love that. And the other thing that I'm noticing, like just paying more attention, like I did with that thing that was triggering me, the things that, like, things like that don't bother me as much, because I'm realizing all I have to do is set the intention to move through it, and then things happen and I move through it. Same thing like this. I just kind of have to, like, I'm realizing now, like, it's not hard. Like, I'm very curious about how I'm creating my reality, and I'm like, I'm getting pieces. I know I'm going to get pieces of it here and there. So it is like kind of whatever I want. I just allow it, and then it just comes to me.
Wow. And I would say it isn't that you aren't engaging any actions, but you are actually doing what we have been discussing. When you want to create something intentionally and you set an intention for something, which I would say pathly, your idea of setting an intention was much more complicated than it actually is. And in that, then learning this piece of allowance, what that means, what that actually is, and that you are doing in your daily life, everything that is in harmony with what it is that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you are doing, but you aren't necessarily doing in what you think of as being directly pursuing what you want, but you are actually doing it more effectively.
Wow. Yeah. Just when you said the word allowing the first time a minute ago, I just had this, felt this wave of relief come over me. It's like, oh yeah, it's just the easier way to create by allowing. You're right, you're doing, but it's like, gosh, making it so hard the other way. It's just so much easier this way.
Expressing to all of you for quite some time. And in this, this is the combination of that trust and faith.
Yeah.
That when you put that allowance into practice, then you can express that trust in now, in whatever it is that you are doing now, and the faith that by trusting, whatever it is that you want will actually come to be.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, and you don't have to know how it is accomplished or what all of the mechanics are in relation to it. You simply have to allow.
Yeah. And I really don't need, knowing all the mechanics would just be clutter.
And in many situations, it is.
Yeah.
Wow. And it makes all of your reality much easier. And then it also is a matter of precisely what you were expressing before. You don't have to be bogged down with thinking about every single detail. You don't have to do that. It isn't that complicated.
Right. Oh, well, this is exciting. I'm going to have more questions about this topic soon, I'm sure. But it's got to marinate a little bit longer. But yeah, it's good. So, okay, now I want to ask you. I just read this morning before our session when you had said something about like opposing and these things that are opposing, expectations, defensiveness, acquiescing, compromising, instructing, personal responsibility, doubt, frustration. I get every single one. But the one that stuck out that I kind of went, huh, was personal responsibility, how that is opposing.
That is definitely opposing. Because taking personal responsibility is not being responsible to you.
Oh, that's what I thought it was.
Personal responsibility is when you take on being personally responsible for something or someone else.
Okay, enough said there. I exactly know how that's opposing. Okay, I was misunderstanding what personal responsibility was. Okay.
Well.
All right, so what would you say the opposite of opposing in this scenario is? Would you say flowing or cooperation?
In which scenario?
The opposite of opposing energy. I guess it would be cooperation, right?
I would say it depends on what type of oppositional energy.
Oh, that makes sense.
That is the reason that I asked
that question.
In scenario. Because the opposite of the opposing energy would depend on what the opposing energy is.
Yes. All right.
Therefore, if an individual is being defensive, the opposite of that isn't necessarily cooperation.
Ah, you're right. All right. That makes sense. Okay. All right. I'm going to shift gears a little bit because I'm feeling pretty good. And talk about personal responsibility as I step into this question. So this will be very interesting how I step into this question and think about this. So I don't feel personal responsibility. I don't think I am. But, okay, so just a question. So I'm here at this house with my mom and she's been, oh my God, forever going in catch-22s about her weight. And so I've been thinking about, I mean, I've addressed, when she talks to me about it, I've addressed it in many different ways. I am thinking of ways, and I guess my intention, and maybe I just throw this, would be to be helping, like I would want to address her to help her be successful in getting to be the weight she wants, which I've addressed in the past, but now I'm thinking, I don't even need to address that part. I just am going to address her just and loving, happy mother. Okay, so I know about the part, I don't know if you say this or Abraham says this. I know about the part where, you know, you, instead of worrying about people, just visualize them in their best or give energy, you know, think about things about them that feel good and feel empowering and feel strong, and going in that direction. So I've been playing around with like, what, how do I want to respond when she does this? Like, how would you respond? If someone keeps saying she beats herself up on eating and her weight, and almost an hour can't go by that she doesn't bring up this conversation. She is obsessed with it, which I notice a little bit in myself too. I notice I'm not nearly to the level as she's obsessed, but I know, you know, I'm concerned about my weight a little bit. I mean, I can see ripples of it in me. Anyhow, so how would you address, like if you were talking, having a conversation with my mother and she starts to say how she's got to do something about this weight or she's overweight and she doesn't look good, how would you respond?
I would first express the question, what is it about this subject that is so important? What is it about her weight that is so important to her, that is constantly stressing to her? Therefore, the first direction I would engage would be to ask her to define what this means to her. Why is it so important to her? Because although a subject may seem obvious, it isn't always so obvious, especially a subject that is very repetitive. When an individual is very concerned about their appearance, and I'm not speaking about that appearance has no importance. I'm not saying that. But when an individual is, in a manner of speaking, fixated on the subject of their appearance, which that is a significant piece, is weight. And in that, there generally is some significant issue that is being expressed, and that is the reason that the individual is so fixated on that repeated subject, that they can't let go of it, that they are constantly constantly grappling with this same subject over and over and over again, and it never seems to resolve. And regardless of what is happening, it is never good enough. Therefore, that would be my first direction with the individual, would be to discuss with them what is so about subject. What is the person's association with that subject? What do they perceive or believe about themselves in relation to that subject? And the answers to those questions can be considerably varied. An individual may look at themselves in relation to their weight and express that if they are a certain weight, then they are unattractive, and if they are unattractive, then that means that they won't be acceptable to other people. They won't be able to connect with other people. That they won't be able to have a relationship with someone. They won't be able to accomplish what they want. They won't be able to have the job that they want. They won't be able to incorporate a partnership with someone. There are many, many, many different expressions that the individual attaches themselves to. And in that, over time, with certain expressions, they become so involved with those subjects that they actually express them in some capacities as part of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the first piece is to establish, and it isn't for you or for me to establish, it is for the other individual to begin to see.
Yeah.
What is it that they are making that subject so important about? Why is that subject so important to them? What do they attach to it? What value are they placing on that, that if they can't accomplish in a particular manner, they are making an assessment about themselves in not being good enough in some manner? Or that is the first direction that is important. Because it doesn't matter what your perception is about it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how encouraging you might be in relation to expressing how much you love this individual.
Right.
Or how... it doesn't matter what their weight is, or it doesn't matter what their appearance is. It matters to them. And there is some other piece that is important that isn't being addressed to and therefore can't be resolved.
Right.
And that is the reason that the subject remains and is being repeatedly expressed as an issue over and over and over again. In that, I would say that if you are wanting to move in a direction of being helpful and helping the other individual to move to a point in which they can address that subject, then it is a matter of moving beyond the surface. The weight and the appearance piece is the surface piece. The issue lies beneath that.
I have a feeling, though, and I could be wrong, but that it's a very, very guarded. Like, if I asked her that question, I think she might say something because, like, if she says, because my health, I want to be healthy.
And that is, an acceptable answer. Isn't the answer.
I know. So what do you do when you get acceptable answers, but you know that there's more to it?
And that is very obvious, because you can obviously express, no, that isn't, that may be part of the reason, but that isn't the ultimate reason.
Yeah.
Because if it were, if your health were actually that important to you, you would actually do something in a manner that would be successful. But if the issue persists, is a subject that continues to be ongoing, then the response of why is this important to you being your health? No, that is actually an incomplete answer. It may be a piece of it, but it isn't the most important piece.
Yeah.
Because if it were, you would be doing something in relation to your health.
Yeah.
Therefore, that isn't it. And in that, I would say that this is the reason that, for the most part, when people present certain subjects to myself, such as weight or smoking or substances, that they are dissatisfied with, and they are expressing that the reason that it is important to them that something change, I don't move in the direction of health. Because that isn't a strong enough, even though that may be part of their reason, it may be part of the reason that they want to change something, that subject isn't strong enough to motivate them to actually address to the subject. Therefore, it is a matter of acknowledging that, yes, that is likely part of the reason that they want to change something, but acknowledging that health is not a strong enough subject to motivate them to change something.
Yes.
They aren't concerned enough with their health to actually change.
You know, okay, so now as I'm thinking about this and just thinking about like how I interact with my mom or my family or my daughter or my son, like my son even texted me something yesterday. His girlfriend had done something and it upset him and he just, you know, wanted to know my opinion of it. And I answered him in the most helpful way I could, you know, asking him to think about what was important. It's on text, so it's a little bit harder to communicate, but just asking him what was more to think about what was important in the relationship and ongoing, but, or my daughter, when she, I'm always like giving my daughter advice always, which, you know, on that list, is opposing energy, but I want to balance. So that I think integral into part of who I am, at least I think it is, and I think it might even be this to mold energy, but is really, really wanting to help people and wanting to share with them. And I know share is a key word, what I've learned and what I'm learning through you and things that empower me. I want to share that. And I think I really want to be aware of, instead of instructing, approach it because I want to be able to approach people in empowering ways and not in opposing ways. But I think it's got to be part of who I am because people gravitate towards me for advice, or even if it's they want to argue with me, I feel like that is part of who I am. I mean, do you think that's part of who I am?
I agree, yes.
So I really, it's so funny because I've spent most of my life instructing people. Well, so I kind of want, I guess I'm just saying this really to bring it all up into my awareness and really setting the intention to move in more empowering and helpful manners without...
What I would say to you, my friend, is I first of all definitely acknowledge what you are saying and that this is a natural flow for you. Now, what I would also say to you is because it's a natural flow for you, and the more you move in a direction of becoming more and more self-aware, what I would say is there are different factors involved. One is, as you know, responding to the other individual when they ask you to.
Yeah.
Secondly, responding to the other individual in several different capacities. One, qualifying, this is what I would do. Then, acknowledging the other individual and expressing, but I also recognize you function differently than I do. Therefore, thinking about that, this would be a different avenue that I would think would also be successful or that might be more in keeping with you and how you function, which is different from how I function. Therefore, acknowledging that you are aware of the other individual and the differences between you. And therefore, you aren't merely engaging them. You aren't instructing, and you aren't engaging them merely from the perspective of your experience and your perception. But that you are actually aware enough that you are considering their perception, their position, and what they naturally express, which may be different from how you naturally express.
Okay.
Doing so, that communicates to the other individual that you are actually genuinely witnessing them. That you are genuinely listening, you are genuinely paying attention, and you are genuinely recognizing them. Now, the next piece is beyond any of that. Now, that is if they ask for.
Yes.
But if they don't ask for, what I would say to you, and this may not immediately be acknowledged, but it is eventually, and it is very, very powerful, because even before it is acknowledged, it is being used. The piece about being an example, and what I mean in that is not necessarily what you might automatically think. Being an example isn't necessarily specifically in relation to any particular subject or direction, but rather simply by living a life that you are content with. Because other people pay attention to that, that they can generate an assessment. She actually is, for the most part, happy with her life. She is, for the most part, a happy and content person. That is a very important piece to most people. They see that and they want to know how.
Yeah.
How is that possible? How do you do that? How are you happy with your life? How are you a content person? I want to be that. Therefore, that prompts questions, and it prompts them to ask more. The other piece that I will say to you is very important, in addition to you simply being content and happy as an individual. I would also say intentionally moving in the direction of asking yourself, who and what do you want to be? Because that affects your behavior tremendously. and they pay attention to that considerably. Therefore, as an example, if you are expressing that those questions to yourself, who do I want to be? How do I want to express myself? Let's say that you express, I want to be a kind person. Let me say to you, I would express that there is likely at least once in every day for every person that you may be challenged with that subject.
Yes.
Of having it be objectively a subject of presentment to yourself, how to be kind in this situation.
Okay, Elias, we are going over time, and Mary has asked that we don't do that so much. But that was perfect, the perfect reinforcement to tell me I feel so good. I feel so powerful. I feel like I can do this. I feel so very, very, very grateful that you have been talking to me all these years. I appreciate you so much. I love you.
And I love you. And my dear friend that am tremendously supportive and encouraging, and that for the most part, you already are that living example. And people notice.
Thank you, Elias. Thank you.
My friend, I express tremendous encouragement to you, great friendship, and exceptional love. Until our next meeting, my dear friend, au revoir.
Au revoir.